Hey everyone, it's Travis.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is the Wheat and the Chaff on our not quite as regular as it used to be, but kind of hopefully getting back to some form of regular podcast.
Hopefully.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. We have a lot to talk about today. Most of it just good conversation. A few of it kind of probably has some form of significance on some level to somebody.
Maybe.
But you can at least enjoy the ride. It's been a busy week. It's been a lot going on this past week, and where shall we start with that?
Well, I feel like as America we have moved on from COVID somehow, and then we skipped over murder hornets.
We just skipped right. Yeah, it was like just, you know, they existed, they blipped for a moment, and then
they're gone.
They were gone.
So murder hornets is done.
Yep.
And now, you know, we've had the week long of protests that have started off peacefully and then turned violent, and which led to kind of our main discussion point, I think, today, is which led to the photo op of the president holding a Bible in front of St. John's Church, right? Mm-hmm. In Washington, D.C.
Which had been vandalized just the night or so before.
Yeah, I think it was lit, part of it was lit on fire, mm-hmm. but I think they, you know, it didn't burn down or anything, but so yeah, he, you know, poses with the Bible, holding it up in this very awkward position. It's almost like he's holding up like, what is this? Is this how I hold it? I'm not really sure. And doesn't open to read it. You know, it'd be one thing if he came out and opened it to, you know, a passage about anything, you know,
yeah.
that has to do with like peace and you know, unity and equality or whatever it was. But he doesn't open it at all. Not even sure it was his Bible. Pretty new. Looks like it hasn't been used very much. And then he just moves on. And to start that, you know, there was the reports, and then there's video footage of protesters, peaceful protesters, being tear gassed and driven out of that area so that he could go and stand there with the Bible in a very awkward position.
I ask you this question because this is the question. So I don't remember if you've made a statement or if you posted anything about this. I know I did, and some other friends.
I think
I remember you sharing something. You know, I have a lot of thoughts and issues with the photo op thing. What I find interesting is, you know, my main point with it, right? Like my main point of contention tends to be the fact of, you know, you have people who are there who have a constitutional right to be there.
Yeah.
You know, being forcibly removed on some level, and this has been an interesting thing because I've had several discussions with folks and acquaintances and some friends and some people who honestly I haven't talked to in years. But it's amazing how Facebook just has, you know, like they'll show up out of nowhere and be like, "Wow, we haven't talked in 22 years, but now you're very deeply concerned with what I think." And I find like there's two different levels to their take on it, right? Most always they're highly supportive of the Trump administration, mm-hmm. right? So they kind of fall in that camp of, I'm ragging on their guy, mm-hmm. okay? Which, that's one place where it starts. But the second thing is that I found two different groups. One who thinks that the picture of him holding a Bible in front of the church is the most kind of holy, Christian, spiritual thing that could possibly happen in that moment. Another group who thinks that the protesters were basically told to clear out because their protesting time had come to an end. A curfew was being enacted, and hey, if people don't move when you warn them, sometimes you got to just start shooting.
Yes.
I mean, which I thought was a really fascinating perspective. Like, literally, I had one person, they were like, listen, if you warn someone once, and then you warn them twice, and they still don't move, I mean, the next step is to use some violence.
Because that always helps.
And I was like,
you know, that's what they're
protesting
against. But
it's a peaceful protest.
You know, that's what they're actually protesting against, right?
Right. Like, I'm like, it's a protest. And it does kind of look like awkward, bad timing to use your military to force out the peaceful protest. But they weren't seeing
it. And then hold the Bible.
And then hold the Bible. And then, of course, yeah, there were some people who felt like I was just simply not understanding the depth of Christianhood that Trump was displaying. Like, this was because it wasn't that they believe that Trump is a Christian, it was the belief that, like, I had one person message me, hey, like David, you shouldn't be touching the Lord's anointed.
Wow.
You don't even touch the hem of the garment, so to speak, right? Like, we won't put our hand on it.
Woo!
And so someone was like, that's, you know, this is God's chosen person for this time. This is the Lord's anointed. He may not actually be a follower of Jesus, but he's still the anointed man of God for the hour. And so anyone speaking against him is basically speaking against God,
the living God.
And so you are putting yourself opposing. So basically my weekend was filled with that. It was filled with, you know, you've got a demonic religious spirit. We'll be praying for you because obviously, you know, your eyes have been blinded by the evil one. So there was that. So, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, I'm sorry, who knows what might come out.
We'll have you
guys can have an intervention and an exorcism at the end or something.
I think we can find some holy water around here.
Right. I mean, you know, and then I just basically, people go, you know, the basics like, oh, you're a liberal, you're a progressive, both of which I'm not, but because I'm not in that camp, that's the only other thing I could possibly be. You know.
Wow. So it's amazing. Like, so I told this to Travis before we started recording. It's amazing what happens when you start messing with people's gods.
Totally.
And it's not Trump is the god. It's the Republican Party and GOP. That is in politics. That is the god of the American church right now.
Yeah.
Because it shows, like, you, because what's happened is we've linked, you know, the issue of abortion, which is, you know, obviously wrong. We do not agree with abortion at all. We've linked that with the Republican Party, and therefore, if you don't vote Republican, you are voting against God because of this one issue.
Right.
And I know that's an important issue, and we should not, you know, I don't want to vote for somebody who is going to say, like, you know, kill all the babies, right?
Right.
But there are so many other issues out there, and we have just hitched our wagon to the Republican Party and built this altar, and we are sacrificing on it. We are worshiping on it. And so when I was thinking to myself yesterday, how many of these people that radically defend Trump, you know, just defend whatever he does, how many of those people would have defended him, say, 10 years ago, when he was just a shrewd businessman, when he was a womanizer, when he's been married several times, when he has made some very lewd comments? Not to say we need to hold everybody's past against them,
right?
Because it was in the past, and he might have repented of that. But here's the other thing. Jesus said, by their fruit you will know them, right? And he was talking about religious leaders of his day who were showing some signs of they are not, their hearts are not with God. And, you know, you can see so many clips of Trump, of the president, not showing the fruit of the Holy Spirit that's inside of him. You know, there was recently where somebody was asking about turning the other cheek, and he's like, why would I turn the other cheek?
Right.
And it's like,
well, you've got a guy who basically even made a, you know, was, when being asked by a reporter, you know, at one point about his faith, was like, I don't talk about my faith. They're like, well, what's your favorite passage of the Bible? Because he's like, I love the Bible. The Bible is my, you know, it's
couldn't name one.
Yeah, the only it's the only book better than The Art of the Deal. And they're like, well, what's your favorite passage? Oh, no, I don't talk about it.
Yeah.
What's your favorite book? Oh, no, we don't talk about it. Well, do you prefer the Old or New Testament? Both. You know what I mean? Like, it's that kind of thing. You know, but then he did later on, you know, in that same, I believe it was the same conversation, but at least in that same vein of conversation, you know, went on about, like, you know, he's never asked for forgiveness. He needs no forgiveness. Right?
Saw that too.
You have a lot of issues there. But I find, yeah, there's a group, the people who I think who blindly support that, at least the ones that I've been engaging with this weekend, I'll share a couple of things. Because it's interesting how, you know, your support for the party impacts your faith, right? Like, and we kind of get to this point where we're like, oh, you know, we know our faith impacts our politics. That's the ideal, is that what we believe and what we believe God about, you know, the values of the kingdom of God should influence what we do, what we say, how we vote, how Absolutely. We govern, how we lead. But I think a lot of people don't realize how it actually works in reverse. A lot of our politics influence our faith. Yeah. So, like, I had a person jump on me who was like, listen, you know, this is just simply a mainstream media twist. This is actually, they're like, honestly, God, she goes, you didn't see where Trump in this thing made a, you know, in this moment made a great speech about how we need to honor the Bible and we need to honor other people and we need to honor places of worship. And I'm like, I didn't see it because it didn't happen.
It never happened.
And she, honestly, God, they go, well, we have other news that you just don't have.
I know. That's the other thing. It's like there's always another news source.
I was like, well, wait a minute. Like, I've got, like, you know, Google and YouTube, which has a lot of, you know, like, civilian phones recording.
CNN, right? Fox News.
Instagram, Snapchat.
There's a lot.
Like, there was a lot of stuff being streamed over the course of that time, right? I'm like, every single thing shows the same thing. You know, peaceful people kind of doing their deal. Tear gas canisters going off. A weird procession from the White House to this chapel. The holding up of the Bible, flash, 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 picture, 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 and the walking back. I'm like, there's no speech to be had. I said the only speech that was made was the one in the Rose Garden where he went off about being the president of law and order and then talking about how, you know, if he has his way, he'll use the military send the military to go restore order everywhere in all these things. I mean, it was just one of these things where it's like, so literally I countered this, right? I'm like, that's not what happened. And she goes, well, I have a reliable news source that no one else knows about.
So
she's like, it's just not covered by anybody. It's just, you know, we're in the know. And every time I counter anything, it would be like, well, you just haven't seen what I've seen. You haven't seen. And I was like, well, then share that with me.
Yeah.
Share me the videos. Share me the picture. Share with me all this other stuff that happened that apparently nobody else was able to capture. And again, it's like in her mind, this was like, oh, this was this huge spiritual godly moment where Trump got up there and like basically preached some, you know, message of encouragement and honor. And it was like,
throw it out there.
And I'm like, just share it. Like, all I need is one video of Trump going, honor the Bible. And I'd be like, oh, okay, I might actually go change my post up a little bit. But it's not there.
Because you can't.
And no matter what, it's like in other people we're talking with, you know, it's like one of these things where you could not change your mind. Eventually, she just simply stopped engaging in the conversation. Yeah. Because if I wasn't going to be swayed by her magic, you know, secret source, she wasn't going to be swayed by my actual videos.
Yeah.
Right, and part of me was like, well, which, you know, and it's hard, right? These are the kind of moments that are hard for me because I go like, as a person of faith, I oftentimes embrace and have to live in realities that I cannot see, touch, feel, or prove.
Yeah.
So part of me goes like, it's really weird to be the guy going, hey, I've got physical, tangible evidence. You have nothing. You're a loony.
Yeah.
Right? Because I sit there and go like, you know, on a macro level, I'm like, it's kind of odd for the person of faith being able to go and prove it to me. But that is what I feel, right? It's like, when it comes to this kind of stuff, there's stuff that we can see and actually objectively define.
Yeah.
And I mean, I did. I had so many friends who are like, you know, well, you're just not seeing it the right way. Yeah. And I was like, I don't know how else to see it.
There was no other way to see that. And I understand, like, people want to defend him. People, you know, it's not, we're not trying to judge, like, his heart. Maybe he is pursuing Christ.
I have no interest in Trump in this particular thing. It has all to do with the symbolism of combining the Bible, the scriptures, with the might of the military. Yeah. As if, hey, join me, vote for me, and all of this power can also be yours. I actually told someone, I'm like, to me, I said, this is the devil and Jesus on the mountaintop in the wilderness as he's being shown everything and saying, hey, if you just bow down and worship me, I'll give this all to you. You can share it.
Yeah.
And as opposed to just simply being like, oh, wait a minute, you're the creator. You know, you're the one who already has it.
I'd feel better if, like, I started, you know how, you know, there's this kind of trend, and whether this is, you know, factual or not, you know, you see people that are in Trump's advisory councils and different groups, and you see like, oh, this person got fired because, you know, they spoke out against his decision or whatever. You know, you see that kind of trend.
Yeah.
I'd almost appreciate if I start seeing like, oh, this spiritual advisor got fired from Trump's evangelical advisory council because he spoke against Trump's, you know, photo op with the Bible. Because at least I would know, hey, there's somebody in his spiritual council that is trying to help him. Just trying to say, hey, this is not a good idea.
Honest to God, like, I sit there and go, like, where is, number one, I haven't actually checked. I have to find, like, where is Paula White in all this? Because I think she, isn't she the top, like,
and Robert Jeffers, pastor? Too. Robert Jeffers, too, is another one. He's like, he's on that advisory council. And I was just like, I responded to...
of course they're going
to
sit there and probably be all pro. But like, listen, even Pat Robertson...
I know, Pat Robertson.
Even Pat Robertson's like, oh, wait a minute.
Even though 2020 has reached another level, we agree with Pat Robertson.
I told a couple friends, I was like, listen, Pat Robertson has made statements against Trump's actions this weekend that I find myself agreeing with, which, you know what that means? It means it's time for us to go order a few Jim Baker End Time food buckets.
Yes, it is.
Because obviously, end of days, baby.
Yes. So, I saw this by Jack Graham, who's a... megachurch pastor, you know, in Texas, and he's on the president's evangelical advisory council, I believe. And he said, "My take: the president walked to an historic church and held up the eternal word of God and publicly declared his faith and demonstrated solidarity with people of faith. I am praying for my president and his family." Now, the only part I don't have an issue with is I'm praying for the president and his family.
I pray for the president.
Absolutely, but my problem is when he said, publicly declared his faith. He said nothing, read nothing, did nothing.
No, he shook a Bible at somebody.
He said this. And then somebody asked him, "Is that your Bible?" And he said,
It's a Bible.
A Bible. That's all he said.
Like all he had to do was say, "Sure." Like, he couldn't even own it. Like, it's a fascinatingly weird situation.
It is on top of
a really, really, really difficult weekend, right? And like, I think that's, again, what makes it so awkward is, even if it was the best of intentions, the timing of it is just so off.
Like, I have respect for... So I know when the protests went on in Boston, right? You know, the Mayor Walsh, who has been very, like, very conservative as an approach of, like, reopening Boston and as far as the COVID goes. But when the protests were coming, they were scheduled, he welcomed it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And then, after they got violent, he said... And Governor Baker did too. They both applauded the protesters that did it peacefully, and they threw under the bus the ones that did it, that came to incite violence and discord and everything else and anarchy. And so, those are the kind of leaders that people respect. For Trump to come in and just clear out an area just so he can take a photo op with a Bible, it's like, dude, why don't you just say, hey, we're not going to do anything. I want to go with the protesters. And I just want to read a passage of scripture, and I want to, you know, find some solid ground with them, some solidarity with them, saying, hey, I'm with you, I support you. Let's just be on, the Secret Service can be on the guard to make sure that there's nobody trying to attack him.
Right, right.
And things like that. But he's like, just be on the guard, but we're not going to do anything. If they are standing there peacefully, if they start throwing things, then yes, you know, we need to take action. But if they're standing there peacefully, I want to go out with them and do this. And I'm sure there'd be people like, no, you can't do that, you're the president, this and that. But those are the kind of leaders that people respect, not somebody who goes in and does a photo op. And the thing that broke my heart about it was, like, as a pastor, and I'm sure you feel this way too, is using God's word as a photo op, as a prop.
As a prop of, and again, as a prop for
just to get
the
votes.
Weaponry of the government, right? Like, as if somehow this is, it wasn't even like it's just a prop, you know, and he went through his, you know, photo booth with, you know, and then next came the sunglasses, then the silly wig, right? It was like, it's a prop, but it also had this representation of, like, we are going to reestablish this sense of evangelical political power. And that's what made me, I think, the most upset. Because, like I said, I do not tend to get to... Facebook, social media is not my area of trying to talk about serious topics. I just try to avoid serious stuff on them because everything gets misconstrued. Everything gets, you know, taken out of context. Everything gets heard in the different tone that I would actually say it in. Right? And so it just tends to lead to more division or more arguments. But this was one of those things where I was just so upset at the idea of, you know, I'm going to sit there and, you know, wave this Bible after having just talked about all of the things that my military will do, you know. It was just an awkwardly weird weekend. And then I was just so befuddled by the amount of people that engaged with my particular post who were just like, well, how is the president holding a Bible a bad thing? And like, don't you understand? Like, that's a good thing. He's a man of the word. And I was
probably
like,
And they're probably all white.
Yes.
And I was listening to a podcast recently, and the Relevant podcast, actually, and Derek Meyer was on there. He's, you know, one of the co-hosts now. And Carlos Whitaker was on there as well, just as a guest. Carlos Whitaker is a, you know, speaker and author and things like that. And they were just talking about, and they weren't talking about the Trump thing. They were talking about just the protests and things like that. And they were just, you know, Derek Minor just kind of poured out some of his pain.
Yeah.
Being an African-American man. And he's like, you guys want me to entertain your kids. You want me to do this. And, you know, he just basically was saying, like, I feel like I'm just a puppet to you. And you want me to come to your church. I'm not going to your church.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like very... It was very convicting, and it was very like challenging, and it made me start thinking, man, the evangelical church in America needs, and maybe this like COVID thing and these protests, maybe this is a wake-up call to say we need to have fundamental change within our, not necessarily our beliefs, but the way we practice, the way we act.
I think you're absolutely right. I think the reality is, I think that what, you know, my concern, you know, what I'm kind of like trying to get a sense of, right, is like, this is the kind of stuff that can really separate groups, right? If you think of like the schism, you know, in the Catholic and Orthodox branches, right? You know, it's over important stuff, but it's also partially because no one knew how to communicate or was willing to communicate because of politics.
Yes.
Right? Like, so most people, if you're not a church history buff, right, you have the Great Schism, you know, it tends to have a doctrinal basis in like how we view the Son and the Holy Spirit coming from the Father and with the Father and all this stuff, right? So there's this doctrinal theological, like, oh, that's really what this is about. But it's not. If you really get into it, it actually starts because the archbishop in this area and the archbishop over in this area, kind of the East and the West, could not agree. And they actually eventually got to the point where they excommunicated each other from each other's churches.
Yeah.
And so if you were in the East, where you tend to have more of this Orthodox kind of, you know, label, they excommunicated the Pope, you know, the Archbishop of Rome. And the Archbishop of Rome and so basically, long before there's this real serious doctrinal issue, there's this political one, right? And then the doctrinal one came up and it became a, well, which bishop, which team are you with?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's where the evangelical church is kind of like walking this line of like, at some point it's going to be the conservative, politically driven, you know, part of the evangelical church versus the maybe more progressive or independent, socially driven part of the evangelical church. And like right now, if the path doesn't change, these things are definitely, they're destined for a crack down the middle. And at some point, you're going to have an evangelical church of the left and an evangelical church of the right, and the two won't get along.
Yeah, I agree, because I've been praying for a little while that God would, you know, change the evangelical church in America. And this was long before, like, COVID started and everything. And I said, even if you have to bring us down to our lowest point just to build us back up. And I'm kind of seeing that maybe God is going to do that. God is, like, using these things to just kind of tear down some walls and lead us to repentance so that we can look in the mirror and say, yeah, we were wrong. We were wrong in this. We were wrong in that. But that's also not to say that, you know, people on the other side that are kind of pushing back against this are all right either. You know, there's definitely wrong and right on both sides, and we have to figure out, like, we have to let the Holy Spirit guide us.
Yeah.
'Cause I've always been a guy that wants to let the pendulum kind of stay in the middle.
Yeah, yeah.
Not swinging too far one way or the other,
yeah,
but stay in the middle. Because you swing too far one way or the other, you know, you become either uber liberal,
yep,
and you neglect, you know, the sound doctrines, or you become uber conservative and you become a legalist.
Yeah, yeah.
And start judging everybody. And so I think with this, you know,
Heaven is counting on me, as the old song used to go.
Yes, heaven is counting on me. So I think that, you know, I was talking to my church recently and I said, look, we need to preach the gospel boldly, but we need to live the gospel boldly too.
Yeah.
Because right now talk is very cheap. There's so many people talking. And they're looking, people are actually looking down to the church and saying, well, how are you going to respond to this? What are you doing? How are you, you know? And so, you know, with this, when the COVID stuff came out, I said, you know, as a church, we can't look down on people who are still afraid of this.
Right.
Because there's people going to be dealing with fear. And now with this, you know, another incident of a police officer, a white police officer killing a black man while other police officers standing around, you know, we also can't say, you know, we can't go, well, you know, that black man was a criminal and therefore, you know, that's why it happened to him. We also can't say that all...
Which is, of course, what now the new thing, I don't know if you saw it today, but that is now the new take of a lot of the kind of conservative...
Well, I saw like the Candace...
There's a whole thing, because I noticed that there's a bunch of people who are like, oh, for all of those of you who were, you know, ragging on this and participating in protests, what you don't know, again, see, the secret information that we've been able to discover, you know, is that this was actually a long-standing criminal, which is... You know, ironic if you consider the fact that you've got pictures of him in Houston with initial church plants. Right? So it's the whole thing again. It's a split, right? You're going to end up with the people who sit on this side are going to go find the stuff that go, hey, this is who this person was and this is why we embrace him. And the other people are going to go, this is who this person was and this is why we reject him.
Yeah.
Right? And you're going to end up with, literally by the time it's done, this guy's not going to be either of those two people.
Yeah.
And... the person he was is going to actually have been forgotten in a whole bunch of theater and you know,
yeah,
parade.
Because I think as a church, we need to say, because I put a video up after, you know, this whole thing, you know, came out. I said, look, this was a horrible thing that happened to a man who didn't deserve that.
Yeah.
But also, we need to be careful in not looping all cops into one category, because those were obviously bad cops who did this. That's four cops out of how many cops in the United States.
Right.
You know, and I said, not all cops are bad, just like I don't want to be looped in the same category as, you know, far right wing Republican, you know,
I don't want to be considered part of the Westboro Baptists.
Yeah, I don't want to be considered part of Westboro Baptists. Yeah. And that's why I just condemn that and say, no, we don't,
right, we're not part of that.
So I said, I think as the church, we need to find that middle ground where we say, where we speak out against this injustice, and we are not social justice warriors that are not about the gospel. We abandon the gospel just to be about social justice. The gospel drives us towards fighting against injustice, and we want to speak out against injustice and stand against injustice, absolutely, but we also don't want to throw everybody into one pot either and say like, oh, this another cop killed a man, therefore all cops are bad. That's dumb logic, you know. That's stupid logic. And so as the church, I think we need to pave the way and said, we're going to speak against injustice whenever we see it happening, but we're also going to support, you know, our local officials and law enforcement and encourage them and support them and help them in any way, and to, you know, keep serving our communities. I was texting a friend of mine today who's a cop in Chelmsford, and I said, hey, I just want you to know I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Because I want him to know, as a spiritual leader and a faith leader in our community, I appreciate him, I encourage him, I support him. Because I know he's not a bad cop.
Well, I think it's interesting. I was talking with my kids yesterday, because again, we went out and we were part of the local protest here in our town. I think it's important to have a voice. I think it's important to be seen, not so that way people, again, it's kind of one of those things in scripture, right? Like, you know, I'm not being seen so that people can see me. Yeah. I feel like it's at this point, I feel like it's important to be like, hey, you know, there's a culture of change that needs to happen. There's a shift that needs to happen. And I think until you have enough voices calling for that, sometimes it can just kind of go ignored, right? It's kind of like Jesus gives the parable of the unjust ruler, but the widow who calls to him at the night, right, banging on the door, asking for help. And eventually he's like, just that she'll go away.
Yeah.
I will go answer her her new problem, and I will bring solution, right? So, like, honestly, like, sometimes that's what you have to do, is you just have to be that, you know, that buzz in the ear that eventually pushes, you know, things in the right direction. But, you know, we were talking about the fact that, you know, our protest here in Westford went peacefully. It was great. And it was orchestrated by police, right? Like, so not that they were the ones who put it together, but like, they made sure all the traffic stopped. Yeah. They made sure things kept, you know, flow the way it needed to be. They made sure that people were where they needed to be. They kept it civil, and they kept it, you know, peaceful. And, you know, it was interesting because there was some discussion of if your protest had the support or involvement of the police, had you sold out? You know, because the police represent this other thing. And it's like, that's where I think people need to remember, like, this actually is a, you know, working together to bless your community, working together for the good of your town, the good of your city, is actually one of the more scriptural elements to these kind of protests, right? Like, you can be part of these protests and be working for the good of your city. So,
I think, go ahead. Jeremiah told the people of Israel when they're going into Babylon, Pray for the peace.
Pray for the peace of the city, man. I mean, I think it's one of the best things that you can, because you, honestly, you can even get people who don't believe in Christ and who have no interest in your church to agree with you on that.
Yeah.
So it's a great common ground. Let's talk something that is actually way more uniting, because it's something that's left, right, progressive, conservative. Doesn't matter where you fall, you can support the brilliance of the Worship Chicken. It is the uniting healing balm that our country needs right now.
So you
to hear the Worship Chicken singing Waymaker.
All of you need to go on YouTube and look up Worship Chicken.
We're not going to play here because I don't want to spoil it. We don't want to spoil it for you. It
is, just enjoy the amazement and wonder of the Worship Chicken.
Yes. And
it's amazing.
There are a few different videos up. I would recommend starting with Waymaker. I know The Blessing was actually the first one that the Worship Chicken posted, but I would suggest Waymaker being the first one. I feel like it actually captures a little more of the essence of the Worship Chicken. And he plays the guitar in that one, which makes it even doubly more awesome. My family just thinks it's amazing, his little chicken feet opening the latches for the case.
Yes.
The whole thing is just absolute stunning brilliance.
So when you've lost all hope in humanity, go look at the Worship Chicken.
Right. It will remind you why the internet was made. It will remind you why YouTube exists. And YouTube was made to capture videos like these.
And it will remind you that there is still good in the world.
There is still good in the world. It's in the shape of a small, squeaky toy chicken. But it can unite us all. Like I said, I believe it is exactly the bridge between all divided parties that our country needs.
I'm pretty sure when Michael Jackson sang "Heal the World, Make it a Better Place," he was talking about
Listen, if the Worship Chicken had been born during Live Aid, all of humanity would be living in a utopia.
Yeah, we wouldn't be talking about Freddie Mercury.
No,
we'd be talking about the Worship Chicken.
We would be talking about the Worship Chicken because that's the kind of power of unity that he brings.
Absolutely.
Go and do it.
Go and
make it happen, and we'll talk about it in a week or so when you've had a chance to view it. In fact, that's what we'll bring out a clip then, because again, we don't want to spoil it today. But
I'll post one on our Facebook.
Yeah,
page.
Post one around. Everybody get a moment to enjoy the Worship Chicken, and then maybe we'll just take on some other worship greatness.
Yes,
there's a sax player that I'm not quite sure if you found yet, but.
Thank you. It ruined my day, and then you reminded me.
My sister had shared him to me, and it's just one of those moments that you can't unwatch. So,
it's awful.
We've had a lot of COVID talk, a lot of politic talk. We may have to get back to doing what we do best, which is just sass and snark at the world, the Christian world around us. So, we promise that we'll get back on track here with the show.
Absolutely.
All right, guys, be good.
See ya.